start again. Torah goes from the end to the beginning. It doesn't stop. Just like our study goes from the end to the beginning. It never stops. We just keep studying over and over. We reread the Torah. It's the beginning of everything. It's the beginning of all creation. In 6 days, Adonai created and then rested on the seventh, just like we get to rest. But unlike when we get to rest, you know, we get to rest because our body becomes physically exhausted. And praise God that He knew this and He gave us opportunity to rest in Him. Adonai, He created everything. Nothing exhausts Him. Nothing tires Him. Praise you for that. Now, the author of Genesis, which is Moses by the Ruach HaKodesh, gives a description of each day of creation. So bear with me as I go over the days with us, for us. That first day, God creates all things. In the first verses, He starts it all. And then in verse 3, it says, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, so God distinguished the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So there was evening, so there was morning, the day one." The one day. No, it doesn't even say the. It's just one day. It sets up everything, right? It sets up that the day starts in the, at sunset and goes on until sunset. So that was the first day. He really kind of set it all up right there. Then day two, we're told the following, starting at 6. "Then God said, let there be expanse in the midst of the water. Let it be for separating the water from water. So God made the expanse, and it separated the water that was below the expanse from the water that was above, over the expanse. And it happened so. God called the expanse sky. So there was evening, there was morning, the second day." So that second day comes to an end. "Then the third day He brought up the dry ground, and we're told the land brought forth grass, green plants yielding seed, each according to its species, and trees making fruit with the seed in it, each according to its species. And God saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning, a third day. The fourth day, of course, follows, and He creates the sun, the moon, and the stars, and we see starting in 17, God set them in the expanse of the sky to shine on the land and to have dominion over this day and over the night, to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So there was evening and there was morning, day 4. The fifth day brought about the birds and everything in the sea. Starting in the end of 21, says, and God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them by saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the water in the seas. Let the flying creatures multiply on the land. So there was evening and there was morning, a fifth day. And then this final day of creation, where all the land animals were created, including man. And it says, after all of this creation, in Genesis 1:31, so God saw everything He made, and behold, it was very good. So there was evening, there was morning, day 6. And of course, day 7 was the day of rest. But we look at these 6 days of creation, and there's one day different than all the other 5. There's one day different. Did you catch it? Did you notice the difference? And when I was young, I there was a time that I devoured Ellery Queen Mysteries. And young people may not remember the Ellery Queen Mysteries, but they were entertaining books, which were soon made into a radio show and movies and TVs. And I remember this one book. And the murderer was this well-dressed gentleman. So Ellery Queen goes into his closet to look for clues. And in his closet, he describes suits of every color, ties of every color. He rattles off the colors. And then he says, you know, and then he talks about the shoes. And there were black, a pair of black shoes. And there was a pair of red shoes. He was really a nappy dresser. There was a brown shoe. There were a pair of white shoes. And then he went on to describe the other things in the closet. And then it turns out, because they had said earlier on they couldn't see the killer's face, all they could see was his shoes. And one of the shoes had a road tar on it. And that was supposed to be, what he went through in this closet was supposed to be a big hint of who the killer was. Because he said there was only a brown shoe. All the other shoes had pairs. There was only a brown shoe. And you were supposed to pick that up. As a 14-year-old, it frustrated me because I didn't get that. But there was always just this little clue like that in all the Ellery Queens. God was like that too. He had that little clue about which day was different. Because every day he called good except the second day. It's the only day he didn't call good. Now, there are a lot of people with a lot of different reasons why God didn't call the second day good. One of the reasons is that they say, well, God didn't actively create something. The waters were already there, and all he did was divide them. So there was nothing new created. You know, there was this expanse that was made room for, but that's not true creation because there was nothing. The waters were already there. So that's one way that they look at it. There's no unique creative event. Some say it was just an omission. The writer forgot to put it in. Omission implies that it should have been there but was forgotten. Or it was an accident that it wasn't there. It was here, we look, and it was deliberately left out. I believe it was deliberately left out, as many others do too. Some say that it was because it is good, it was good, is only said after something was created. So if we look at day three, the waters were separated in day two. In day three, he finishes the job of, I don't know why that is up there. We're not going there. Oh, sorry. Okay, no, we're not going back then. Thank you. So in day two, he creates the space between the waters. In day three, he actually completes the works of the waters. So we get it is good, and then he goes on and does some more, and we get another it is good at the end of day three. So there's actually two it is goods on day three. Make up for the one that wasn't in day two. Here's my problem with that. So you're going to tell me that God, what? He ran out of time, or he got tired, or he just wasn't able to do it all in a day? I don't buy that. Sorry, I don't buy that. So, here's what I believe, and some other people believe as well. Why day two was not called good? It's the second day is the not only is it not the only day without creation, something actually being created. It's the only day where there's division. He divides the waters. It's the only day he didn't unite and give life. It's the only day there wasn't unifying action going on. The principle that God teaches here is that God has never been a fan of separation and division, not even of the waters. He had to separate the waters because that was what would be necessary for man to live. But that concept of separation, that's not something that Adonai would consider to be good. There's only, you know, if you look, there's only really one time that separation is good. Or at least not bad. No, it's not good. The only time separation is good is when we separate ourselves from sin. Amen. That's the only separation that's good. And even then, we separate ourselves from the act of sin, but not from the creation that's doing the sin. We don't separate ourselves from the world, because how could we witness to the world if we separate ourselves from the world? So we never actually separate ourselves from the world. We separate ourselves from the sins of the world. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to show them love. Adonai had always desired us to be in unity with Him. He always wanted to live among us. Adam and Eve were created to be in the garden. They were created to tend it. They were created to live right there in the garden with Adonai, among Him, along with Him. It's because of sin that Adonai knew there would be a need for separation. Even before the time of creation, He knew this. He knew all things before creation, the actions of the world, even each one of us individually. Before creation, He knew us, and He knew what we were going to do. So He knew Adam and Eve were going to sin. So He knew there was a need for division, for separation. Otherwise, how could they continue to live? May have been necessary for this separation, but it certainly, based on all of Scripture, is not the heart's desire of Adonai. His desire is not for us to be separate from God, from Himself. So although that separation may not necessarily be bad, because it's the reason we're able to survive, because if we were in God's presence and sinful, we would not be able to survive. That's His justice. That's why mercy goes before justice. Otherwise, we would not be able to stand before Him. Way back then, though, He knew of the separation. He knew it was necessary. But He had a plan to remove the separation in the future. And we see that future in Revelation. By the time we get to Revelation 21, almost to the very end of the book, we see that God no longer desires to hold Himself separate from the world. His promise is to dwell with men in the new heaven and the new earth. Not only that, but the separation that we saw in day 2 of Genesis is eliminated by the new Jerusalem coming down on the earth from heaven. So let's read Revelation 21:1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That imagery of the new Jerusalem, which was above in heaven, above the waters of the separation, coming down And it says that the sea was no more. So the waters that were below as the sea and the waters that were above are eliminated as the New Jerusalem comes down. That separation that he never called good on the second day is eliminated. We come back to him. In reality, he comes back to us. That separation is no longer. That's his plan, that we should be with him. Of course he's with us. He's with us as the Ruach HaKodesh, that Holy Spirit. He's within us. He's among us. He absolutely is. Could you imagine the even greater glory and experience we're going to have when not only do we have just the Ruach HaKodesh, just one of the three of the triune Godhead, now we're going to be able to take all of them in. We're going to see Adonai. We're going to see Yeshua again. We're going to see the Ruach HaKodesh among us. How much greater is that glory going to be than just the one? We're limited by our own thoughts and abilities to even think of that much greatness. But to see Adonai in all of his facets, that's going to be just, you know, if we still had the same mind as we have now, it'll be mind-blowing. But he knows that, so he's going to give us new bodies, new minds, to know him better, to see, be able to stand before him in the new Jerusalem. Here's that promise in Psalm 73, a word that tells us that we will forever be before him, just like King David, and live according to his righteousness. Psalm 73, starting in 23, "Yet I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? On earth there is none I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." He's continually with us now as the Ruach HaKodesh. And we look forward to the afterwards that it talks about. We look forward to when he takes us into glory. We look forward to that even greater time that we're going to have than right now. It's that promise that's the reason why we run good race and accept Messiah Yeshua for as our atonement. We see in Matthew 1 when the angel came down to speak to Joseph about what was going on with Miriam and Mary and her pregnancy. Matthew 1:21 says, "She will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sin." Yeshua means salvation. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by Adonai through the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. This was a direct quote from Isaiah 7:14. It just gives us a little more to explain what Emmanuel means, God with us. Adonai's plan has always been to be with us. Fully with us, not just as the Ruach HaKodesh, which is a great thing, but to fully be with us in our presence, us in his presence. We can't see him face to face now, but we will see his full glory when the new Jerusalem comes down. He's still looking for that personal connection with each one of us now so that we'll have that greater connection with him then. Isaiah spoke about it. Yeshua put it into motion. And we see Revelation as the completion of it. Revelation 21:3 is that completion. I also heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling of God is among men, and he shall tabernacle among them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them and be their God." The completion of the plan. God will be among us. The Father will be among us. You know, everyone says God is with us, and He is, as I said, through the Ruach HaKodesh. But the Father, He sits at the on the throne in heaven. That's where He is. Yeshua sits at His right hand at the throne. That's where He currently is. There was a time He was on the earth, but currently He sits at the right hand of the throne. The Ruach HaKodesh, that's the peace of Adonai that's with us now. There's a time we get to see all three of them together. Hallelujah! How much glory is that going to be? More than this soul could even think or imagine. Father, we just thank You that You have a plan to bring us into Your glory. You have a plan to eliminate that separation that happened all the way back on the second day to show us what was to be. That separation was to show us the separation of man and God. But in Revelation, and even through Your prophets, You told us that that separation was going to be eliminated. Thank You for Your plan. And thank You that You never, ever fail. Therefore, we can trust in Your plan as long as we continue to trust in You and trust in Your Son and the blood that was shed to cleanse us so that we may stand before Your throne forever. Ruach, I not only ask that You help us to run that good race so that we will maintain ourselves as pure and spotless through the blood of Messiah Yeshua, but I ask that we have that opportunity to help others to come before Your throne, to share who You are and who Your Son is, Yeshua, and what He's done for us. I thank You that You're going to be giving us opportunity of this soon, but I pray that we have that same opportunities every single day at a grocery store, in lines 6 feet apart. Everywhere, every person we get to speak with, that perhaps Your name will be brought up in glory so that they may know who they are and what You've done for them personally, just like You've done for us personally. We thank You for Your words. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for everything You've done for us. And for all that, we just say, bless You and honor You and glorify You and You alone. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.